Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to the Best of the Football Ramble 2023 Part 2. We dearly hope that you're enjoying spending time with your loved ones and, of course, watching a lot of football. This season so far has already given us some belting moments in the wonderful world of football, from Harry Kane's sensational transfer to Bayern Munich, to Maurizio Pochettino attempting to save Chelsea Football Club with a bowl of lemons, to, well, the entirety of Manchester United's Champions League campaign. So sit back, grab that stale mince pie, put those new headphones on and enjoy some more of our very favourite moments from the year. Where else to start but with Andy Carroll's French Renaissance? He scored a 40-yard lob on the weekend. He got his lob on, Peter.
Yeah.
It was in a draw for his club, Amiens, against Annecy, which is definitely not how it's pronounced. Amiens are currently 10th in League 2. Ligue 2, should I say, as we all say Ligue 1, so keep it French. Carroll scored in back-to-back games. So he's loving life there in northern France, Pete Donaldson.
It was a lovely, I'm not going to use the word stroke, but a lovely stroke from the halfway line.
It was a beauty. And it wasn't disallowed.
No, yeah, which is rare for Andy Carroll's wonder goals. It's just seeing Andy Carroll having a lovely time.
Yeah.
It's like watching a Labrador have a lovely time.
It is.
Yeah. It's like I live for it.
But I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, where's he getting this roast dinners?
Yes, he did an interview recently, Andy Carroll. I thought parts of it were quite touching, actually. He spoke about the not wanting to leave Newcastle United when he'd made a bit of a splash there, going to Liverpool, and how totally different/professional it was compared to Newcastle United.
anything to add on that, Peter?
No, really.
So he said, like at Liverpool, it was you stayed in a hotel the night before a game, whether it's an away game or a home game as well. You know, all suited and booted when you go out.
Was my ice bath a bin? No.
Yeah.
It's not even any ice in it.
Yeah.
Andy, you're just in the bin.
whereas he said at Newcastle, we would meet at 1:30 for a 3 p.m. kickoff at St James's. He said, I would never forget, I used to go to this little pub around the corner of the White Swan. It was like a Toby Carvery, meat, Yorkshire puddings, loads of gravy. I would eat a full roast, full Newcastle tracksuit on, and then I'd go and play the game. That is glorious.
Fantastic.
Stuff.
I think the footballers should be allowed to fuel however they want. And Andy Carroll obviously had a hell of a... That's probably what
it will affect performances, though.
It will, I guess. Yeah, but Andy was at Preston when Sam Allardyce was in charge at Newcastle. So they could have been powered by sage, both of them. Fantastic.
Sage and onion sausages.
Sage and onion sausages.
I just think, Andy, you hear that and you go, the game has changed a lot in recent generations.
Yeah. Not there.
Andy Carroll went for 35 million.
I know.
He's actually full of beef and gravy.
Yeah.
How good could the guy might have been.
Yeah. I think the bit about that I love most is there's clearly part of him that relayed that story and was like, I know one part is bad, but there is a good part to this. Mm. And the good part to this was the pub was around the corner, so he'd never be late.
That's right.
I'm meeting you more than halfway.
If you're disciplining him there, you're thinking, that's going in the pros column.
Yeah. you had to turn up at 1:30 for a 3 o'clock kickoff. It just doesn't seem right.
Imagine if you're a Newcastle fan, which everyone in Newcastle is. If you have anyone ever visits there, all of them are. And you work at the Toby Carvery and you're going and Andy Carroll walks up to get with his plate because it's self-service and you're carving it and you're looking at your watch going at quarter to
I'm leaving in a minute to go to the game.
But how have we never heard about that? Because Newcastle fans aren't fucking narcs, all right?
Good on them.
A great example of that, which doesn't come up in this interview, is Andy Carroll scored a winner for Newcastle. I think it was against Liverpool at St James's Park. Got taken off on about 88 minutes, walked straight down the tunnel, showered.
Toby Carvery.
By the time everyone left, he came back out to the to the pitch because he had mates in one of the boxes. Mm. And so climbed through the stand to get to the box, had a few drinks in there, went out into town. They were sat in this pub at the back because they were like, oh, you know, Andy Carroll was like, best sitting around here, don't want to get in the way. And then the Sky Sports were showing their extended highlights of that same game at like 8 o'clock. And when Carroll scored, I think he scored a brace, when he scored the first goal.
I remember it.
Everyone started cheering. Yeah. And all his mates started cheering. Like, oh, he's here. Everyone went and bought him drinks and then left him alone. Because, like, oh, you're here for a night out, mate. Really well played today.
I think that's nice.
It was incredible, yeah.
Well, it's funny because some players with regards to Newcastle said, you know, it was a bit of a goldfish bowl and they couldn't handle it. But it seems like everyone's in on it. Do you know what I mean? Up in Newcastle. I think it's glorious. Yeah,
also, I've played roulette next to Mike Williamson in the casino. Good stuff.
What kind of roulette?
Not Russian roulette. there's only two kinds of roulette. Now that would be too far. Yeah, okay. Toby Carvery, fine. Yeah. Revolver at the head, wrong.
No,
right?
I think it would be with a spud gun.
Pete, can you hurry up and pull the trigger, and I've got to be at the ground.
Is Mike available today? Maybe.
He's had an injury. But do you accept that now that is just a conspiracy theory, which you subscribe to?
It's not the only one. I didn't accept that.
Luke was off to Luton Airport with a cricket bat.
I was.
I'm just going to play some short form in Munich.
Don't bring cricket into this. Don't sully cricket's name.
Fish.
I've never seen fish so disgusting.
Short form cricket, is that the terminology?
That is the terminology.
Right, are you impressed?
Yeah. As if Pete hasn't been up all night researching.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Anyway, let me be the second or third person to say welcome back, Vish, by the way, from your cricketing travel.
Thank you.
South of London.
Oh, you racked some miles up, didn't you?
That's your Avios account.
Yeah, you were in South Africa for the Ashes, I believe.
I was, yeah. So I'm still a bit jet lagged, Pete.
To wrestle this back.
Harry Kane, yeah. I was right, you were wrong.
Yes.
Thanks very much.
Correct.
High fives all round.
There we go.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. What's most important, though, Pete, I think we can all agree, is at the time we're sitting here recording this now, I think Harry Kane might be sat in a house, in a sofa, waiting for permission to get on the plane.
The way it was described, he was at the airport, and Spurs gave him permission to travel for his medical in Munich. He was then expected to fly, of course, and he was driven to Stansted, but then he was told not to fly because there was some bits and pieces in the deal that Spurs still wanted to sort of hash out. And then it was described as Harry Kane was then at a nearby family home or something, which, as somebody pointed out, makes it sound like he's moved to a safe house.
With his protection, yeah.
By the way, can I just, all of this stuff about whether Kane wanted to leave or not, and it looks like he did, so that's fair enough.
And 55.3% of our listeners said he was going to go on a poll on Twitter yesterday.
So a general kind of consensus was that he pretty could go either way kind of thing,
Kexit.
Right? Yeah. Kane-sit is probably going to happen. But
he's in a bed-sit now, isn't
he? My argument was that, like, if you hire clearly an incompetent as your agent, because he's your brother, he's got no other clients, and is it really indicative of a great amount of ambition? It's not like you're not thinking about, oh, he can get the best deal for me. She's like, this is easy because he's my brother.
Yeah.
And then when you talk about that, and the reason that plays into what I was going to say now is because when you talk about him being told not to get on a plane, right? Can you imagine, like, Cristiano Ronaldo said, oh, I won't get on it then?
Yeah.
They just go.
Yeah.
A lot of big players with big personalities and a lot of ambition will just say, well, sorry, but you've agreed the deal.
But he's optics, though, isn't he? He's worried about his legacy at Spurs.
He always seems frightened.
Yeah, but no, Ronaldo will get on the plane and just circle around the airport for a bit. Makes it just look like
burn off some petrol.
I'm not going. Yeah. They're happy. I get my sort of photographs.
Yeah, so a lot of the times in that situation, you're right. But you know, you're right from what you said before in terms of being competent in Charlie Kane.
Yeah.
With regards to like that'll be the agent being like, you get on the plane,
I'll deal with it.
Deal with the blowback.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
get on the plane. But often the plane doesn't actually go to that destination.
Yes.
It might go nearby, but you basically won't be it won't necessarily arrive, say, in like, you know, in Munich Airport.
I'm just going to Berlin for the weekend.
Yeah. So it's sold as that. It's like, oh, well, we're going to Spain for a break then.
Yeah.
There is a game tomorrow.
I was about to say, on the eve of the Premier League.
It's not even the eve, is it?
It's not hard to...
Rio Ferdinand would do it.
Get in and out, is it?
True enough.
It's not the most ridiculous thing in the world.
I wonder if...
Plane, Trains and Automobiles remake with Harry and Charlie Kane.
Yeah, that's something we can agree. I just wonder if the sort of sticking point is the fact that Harry Kane, he's got his Skechers football book deal for last time. Bayern Munich, you're not wearing them here.
It's ridiculous.
Adidas or nothing here, big boy.
I love that Charlie Kane, right, has presumably got a deal for Harry Kane's boots. He's the biggest scoring England player of all time.
Yeah.
And he's got a deal for him for a boot so bad that he's had to dust it in among all this other news that's going on. Yeah. We'll bury that today.
We've got you a incredible drink deal. Oh, wow. You know, one of the biggest drinks in the world. Coca-Cola. Well, cola, yeah.
Roller cola.
Panda Pop.
Can you still get Panda Pop?
Not even classic cola, is it?
Panda Pops is just a shoe before my son puts his foot in it. It's confusing for the film later on.
But I think this is... presuming Kane does go, you know, he wants to go, certainly. That was the...
If Orny's calling it,
yeah,
he's unimpeachable.
I honestly think this is a superb move for him. Because...
Same.
Do you know what? There seems to be this... There are some corners of X... Shall we say, or Twitter?
Yeah.
So we spoke about this, Marcus. You can't do this every show.
He's defined the Musketeer and calling it Twitter still.
It's X.
Brave guy. Brave guy. Yeah.
Visionary.
Anyway.
Thought leader.
On social media.
Car full of batteries.
Right. A lot of people on social are saying that...
yes, I like that.
Yeah.
Are saying that, well, so what? Like, he wins a Bundesliga. As if it's like, I don't know, like winning a Sunday league or something. The idea of, like, winning the Bundesliga with Bayern Munich seems to be just completely immaterial.
Imagine playing in a one-team league, eh? Jesus
Christ. Look, at the end of the day, it is a communication error that has caused this. And it's maddening. That's what it is.
Yeah.
However,
we are forgetting, Marcus, this is fucking funny.
Indeed.
We're forgetting the massive capacity with this being very funny indeed.
None of us support Spurs and none of us support
Liverpool.
Exactly. Well, even if we did support Spurs, you'd probably find it quite...
Well, the interesting thing about it, I thought, was when... I don't know if you saw this live at the time, but they missed the kickoff for the second half on Sky, yeah?
Right.
Because they hadn't talked about the goal. And it was only through someone... I think someone was like... We should probably talk about the goal here. So, let's do it when we go back from the break. And when they go back to the game, you know, Spurs are already knocking it around there. Like Mickey van der Ven's got the ball.
This is what happens.
Andrew's got the barbecue on the go. Yeah. Having a great time.
This is what happens when you go to Club Wembley. You go in at half time, you have a drink, you have a pie, and all that sort of
sandwich.
And suddenly someone says, you know, the game's restarted. You're like, oh my goodness, this chair is so...
We can watch it here, can't
we? This chair is so comfy. I wouldn't, you know.
And of course, it's a travesty. And of course, people and idiots are calling for a replay and stuff like that. And it's all down to Arsene Wenger against Sheffield United a few years ago, to be quite frank, when they replayed that.
Very different circumstances, though.
No, but Mark Overmars and Arsene Wenger, they set the precedent on
this
one.
Can't believe it was.
Yeah, but they benefited from that game. So this would be like Spurs saying, OK, let's replay it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
Okay, I don't think Spurs
are
going to go for that.
Which I they haven't.
Once again, showing you who the real charitable...
imagine if they're trying to get through to Spurs to negotiate it, and Spurs are like, sorry, the technology just isn't working. Yeah, that's right.
We had a miscommunication. We thought they said that the result stands.
Yeah. Sorry, it's a bad line. So yeah, I'll call you back.
Can you send us a letter?
Marcus, would you like to hear some comments on the YouTube page for the Sky Sports reporting of this particular?
I would. I think that we're struggling with balance and with maybe a bit of wisdom here. So yes, I would, Peter.
Respect to Klopp. Respect to the lads. Watching this has put me at ease. We move with dignity and have proved our strength going forward. Liverpool are truly a force to be reckoned with. I am proud to be a part of it.
Jamie Carragher there.
Just going to turn off my mentions on Twitter.
Should have called the team in after that offside decision. Call the team in. Just call the team
in.
Just call the team in.
Not playing this.
We need this game to be replayed. That was scandalicious by the refs. Fuck fucking James Brown on the comments.
Completely undermines.
That was scandalous, baby.
Undermines the severity of the point by that word.
This was match fixing. No other excuse. It was match fixing. All caps. Whoever was in that VAR box needs suspending and honestly investigated. I just love love the hand-wringing Premier League football fan. Yeah. Put all those tweets on that big sphere at Las Vegas and I'll just sit there and fucking masturbate. I just love it. Fucking love it.
But the worst thing is, like...
What he said, well, what he wants to do, that's the worst thing.
Don't masturbate at the comments.
Don't masturbate at the big sphere. The big Las Vegas sphere.
Imagine the little moment of Vegas, shame baby. Afterwards with that.
Yeah, but you'd film it, though.
The biggest sphere and the smallest, you know. Together at last.
Oh, dear. Vish, you were going to say something. Go on.
I was, yeah.
Just enjoy it, guys.
I'm telling you, the current South Korea manager is going to throw his hat into the ring very, very quickly.
Yeah.
That is, of course, Jurgen Klinsmann. South Korea drew with Wales on Thursday. They head up to St. James's Park tomorrow night, where they're going to play Saudi Arabia, of course, who that's their home stadium now. And Klinsmann, quite oddly, if this equation isn't odd enough, he set up the South Korea training camp in London, which is 460 kilometres away from the ground. Work it out in miles if that's the way you live your life. But the Korean FA said that they didn't know the reason for this location. Why is he doing that? He's got links. He was used to play for Spurs, maybe access to good facilities. I don't know whether this is relevant, but on Saturday, Klinsmann was named in the squad for a charity match between Chelsea and Bayern at Stamford Bridge. Like,
so what?
Outrageous.
So what he's
so
done
guys, we've got 2 days of free time now. So you go and do whatever you want. Yeah. We'll be back at the hotel
after
in a couple
that
of days.
Clean sheet against Wales. Yeah. You deserve time off.
No.
Time off.
We've got a couple of days free time. All I'll say is a recommendation. If you fancy it, flick a bit of ITV on. Yeah. About 4:30. Some good stuff on.
What he's basically done.
Can I still play? I'll let you be the judge of that. Flick on ITV1 at 4:30. There's some great stuff on.
I remember when we were at uni and we were driving to a cricket match, and one of my mates was in the passenger seat, and he was like, "Oh shit, I think I've forgotten my forgot my boots at home." So we kind of turned around. We went back to his flat. Went in there. It was gone for about 10 minutes. We're like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I felt a bit peckish, didn't want to spend any money, so I realised I had some ham in, it was going to go off, so I made myself a sandwich. Fuck. Take a detour back to his flat. That's what Jurgen Klinsmann's done there.
Yeah. It's ham sandwich. Yeah.
It really is.
I mean, his managerial career is fascinating. Started as a Germany manager, which is phenomenal, really. Took a couple of years off, went to Bayern. Like, he really, really has started at the top. And now he's just coasting in a way that's almost admirable.
You know what it is? It's catch me if you can.
It is. Philip Lahm said that Klinsmann provided so little tactical instruction at Bayern that the players took it upon themselves to meet before kickoff to decide how to play.
That is super.
At Bayern Munich.
I know. Yeah. Well, they always say that, you know, Bayern obviously would win the league and all the rest of it. Maybe he just thought, well, this is the perfect job for me. I don't really have to.
He resigned from Hertha on Facebook as well, which is great.
Yeah. Oh, man. We should say that Chelsea legends beat Bayern legends 4-0, which was quite fitting. Of course, it was a charity game for the late, great Gianluca Vialli. So it was, sad occasion, of course, but great to see some of his former teammates playing very, very well. Indeed, like Zola lit up the place, as you'd expect. In terms of Jurgen Klinsmann, though, the Korean FA didn't let Klinsmann play. Yeah.
Book the hotel now, lads.
So he's quit.
Well, if you're not going to let me do that.
If I can't show him how to score, how can I coach him?
Do you not think he must have been gutted? He thought, brilliant, I've arranged it all. I'm going to be there.
I can't believe we got away with this.
Yeah.
You know what he's going to do? He's gonna manage Germany from South Korea, isn't he?
No, you're talking. I'm telling you, he will throw his hat into the ring for this Germany job.
Yeah.
I mean, him and Voller were a great strike partnership.
They were.
And that'll be his main argument.
But there's talk that, like, he's just not, you know, he's not really participating in essentially being a full-time coach in this role.
Look, he's literally phoning it in.
He is. And that's an accusation that's had from before, because wasn't he living in a different country when he managed Germany for a while?
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, obviously he's got form for this kind of stuff. Andy Brassel, of this parish, just referred to him over the weekend on the WhatsApp group as just an underrated bell end.
Well, by the way, regarding the controversy surrounding where he lives, which is, of course, in the States.
It's not controversy. He's just living at home.
Yeah. He is. Well, Klinsmann said at the weekend, if I do it the same as people before, at the Korean FA, there will be no improvement. So if he goes to move to South Korea, there'll be no improvement.
Sorry.
You will have a Korean Klinsmann, but not Klinsmann.
I don't think they want either.
No.
Get the impression that on his Zoom, the Hollywood sign is very visible in the background.
Yeah. But you've got two choices, the real me or a Korean me.
Yeah.
And you do, I'm telling you, you don't want the other one.
I like Sun Heung-min, who just said, I'm sure he knows what he's doing. How sure, though? Because that is crucial in there.
Speaking of Liverpool strikers, or certainly a former one, did you see Luis Suarez scoring an overhead kick at his son's 10th birthday party?
He can't turn it off, can he? He'll be doing this when he's 90.
Yeah.
And there will be physical consequences for it, but he will keep doing it.
It was a beauty.
It really was.
It was impressive.
I mean, it's a load of 10-year-olds, but it's still...
Yeah, but it's still...
It's still an overhead kick.
It's not like he's just running rings around them and then just slotted one past the helpless lad in goal.
Yeah.
It was actually...
I mean, all the kids will want to see him do that.
Yeah,
there was a pitch invasion, wasn't there, afterwards?
Yeah, there is that as well. I mean, it's not like, you know, like if I don't know, you could imagine Jamie Vardy at a kid's birthday party, just mugging off
the kids.
Yeah, mugging off.
He would be. Wouldn't he shit out everyone?
Yeah, exactly.
Blowing out the candles.
I'll have the first slice.
Yeah.
I think there were two things that it really reminded me of. Firstly, do you remember that time when Bayern were on tour in New York City and Xabi Alonso and Arturo Vidal played, I think, 38-year-olds?
Right.
On a pitch by the Hudson River. It was amazing.
Well, so, yeah, not 38-year-olds, 30...
Yes, gap
children.
8-year-olds. Yeah. Yes. it was an amazing combination, if you think about it, because Xabi Alonso can hit any pass he wants, and Arturo Vidal has no problem with two-footing kids.
Yeah.
So it works really well. The other thing it reminded me of is when it was my youngest son's 10th birthday party a couple of months ago.
Still not passing the ball, Andy.
Yeah, I think I told you about this. They brought on like the parents for the last 10 minutes. And so I thought, you know, I was, you know, having fun, being a bit respectful, playing quite well. And I got absolutely flattened. And I looked round, and it was my 11-year-old.
Yes!
Oh.
And the thing is, that sort of full-on slide tackle where you take everything for 11 and 12-year-olds is known as a Brexit. And he simply stood over me and he went, "Brexit means Brexit, Dad."
Really?
Can you believe that? It's known
as a Brexit?
Yes.
Yeah, Brexit tackle, yeah.
I'll tell you what,
the party organiser, ref, gave me a sympathy penalty. It was awful.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm glad we could...
Have you handed over the keys to your house yet?
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stressors can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Best of the Football Ramble 2023, Part 2. Now, you heard some Jack's Encyclopedia calamities in Part 1, but trust me, it pales in comparison with what you're about to hear. This is what happens when Pete asks Luke, Jim and myself to name the 20 biggest club stadiums in England.
All right, the tiebreaker.
Here we go. This is what the people want.
Ed's on.
Who goes first?
Jim goes first. Top 20 club stadiums by all seated capacity in the United Kingdom.
Oof.
Top 20 club stadiums by all seated capacity in the United Kingdom. This is according to Wikipedia. And the stadium has to be the regular home of a club in the UK. So Wembley doesn't count as one.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Top 20 club stadiums by all seated capacity in the United Kingdom.
Jim?
I said Old Trafford.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, darling. I missed that. Okay. Old Trafford. Yes. No, 74,000.
Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
62.
St James's Park.
St James's Park is in there, 52.
Ibrox.
Ibrox is in there, 50.
Well, I've Celtic Park.
And yeah, you
and
bastard.
And a bet, 60.
Anfield.
53. Due to increase soon to 61.
Ooh. The Emirates Stadium.
Emirates, 60.
I'll have the Etihad.
60. Beautiful.
Now we're getting to slim pickings. Now, aren't we, boys? Down to the business end.
Now you're making your money.
Yeah. I'll go with Villa Park.
Nicely done.
Nice.
42 in there.
So I will go with the London Stadium.
Yeah. London Stadium, 62. And an off.
Go for the Stadium of Light.
Stadium of Light. Good shout there, Marcus.
That's a really
49.
Guess. Well done. That's brilliant.
All new stadiums.
Thanks, bruv.
Hillsborough.
Oh.
39.
Yeah.
Very good, Luke. This is a good round.
Stamford Bridge.
Stamford Bridge. 41.
How many left?
Full of dickheads. 5, 6, 7, 8, 7. You got seven left.
Seven left. Goodison Park.
Yeah.
It's in there.
Get in there.
Well done, mate. 40.
Oh, now
40?
We're getting,
I thought it was
now we're getting. Now it's getting tough.
Going gets tough.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final.
St. Mary's.
I really wanted to get that.
It's getting tough now.
Yeah.
Unless I can pull one out of my brain, I'm going to go for the Amex Stadium.
Nah.
Unfortunately not.
I'll have the Walker Stadium.
It's not called that.
No, and it's not
you mean
even
the
right.
King Power.
Oh, did I say that? Yeah. Bloody hell.
So we're all back in?
You're all back in. Well, you got it wrong anyway. Lucky Moore.
Here's one for you. Here's one for you.
Here we go.
Put it out there.
Yeah.
Carrow Road.
Oh,
I like it, but I don't like it.
Oh, shame.
Sorry, mate.
Bramall Lane?
Jesus Christ, guys.
The City Ground.
Hop back in.
Jesus. What did you say then?
I said the
one last
ground.
Round and then
the
you're
city
out.
Ground.
Okay.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place.
Molyneux.
That was mine as well.
Go on, Jim. What have you got for
us? Tough.
It's Torres.
You never get a Neville.
No.
In the Champions League final, the headline has been written.
Come on, Marcus. Let's have a Panenka.
Surely the King Power Stadium.
Fucking hell, Marcus. No.
I thought, so
we keep going until we get one, guys. Until one of you idiots gets one.
This is one of those penalty shootouts where everyone's going, would somebody put it away?
Okay.
I can't believe this. We're missing obvious ones here.
We must be.
I'm giving you a lot of time because you need it.
Portman Road.
Stadium. St. Andrews.
Fuck's sake. I thought about that.
Oh, God.
There's points where I can't remember the name of the state of the club stadium.
Yeah.
Selhurst Park. It's not right. I just know it's not that big. I'm just at the amount of ground.
This is the sound of the indigenous name of stadium.
Yeah.
Main road.
It's back on me, right?
Back on you.
I don't want it on me.
I can't believe it. There were people going mental listening to this guy. I can't believe you've not thought of this
okay.
one.
Okay.
It's Torres!
I'm sick of hearing that.
The
county ground. Just name a stadium.
Jim!
To be fair, that
name
was...
Name a stadium!
The Hawthorns!
Any stadium!
Hawthorns was the one...
Piss off! Marcus! Give me a goddamn stadium right now that's got... I mean, you can have over 34,000 and you're pretty much there.
It's sudden death.
A big
just the
place
first,
you've been!
It's just the first one person to name one.
Watching some football!
It's just the first person to name one wins. Fucking Gary Neville the cunt!
Oh, Craven Cottage. I know it's wrong, but if it was right, I thought I've got to say that.
I've got B places, Luke!
Okay.
I can't believe this.
Bramwell Lane.
Right. The baseball ground.
Do you mean Pride Park? Correct. Well done.
We needed a winner.
Play the outro. Fuck off. See you later. Thank you for listening. Go to twitter.com/footballramble for yourself. We've got TikTok. We've got everything. Thank you, Betfair. See you later. Bye.
I think I speak.
You could have had Cardiff City. You could have had Coventry. You could have had Elland Road. You could have had Hampden Park. Queen's Park FC play there. You could have had the Riverside. Get it together.
I thought about saying Hampden Park because the Queen's
Park. Fucking say it then.
Yeah, I should have.
Elland Road's a poor one. That was the big one.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Shit in your hat and punch it. All right, then. We've got another question.
We do, from Laura Bradburn. Imagine you have a penalty to save your life. Who is taking it for you? Luke, you go.
Not Matt Letizia.
Luke, there's a reason why I insisted on this question, because I'm going to answer first, and it would be Matt Letizia.
Well, I'm not choosing Matt Letizia.
Can I just shock you? He was top of my list as well.
Matt Letizia is the greatest penalty taker of all time.
But you've not thought it through.
I have thought it through.
No, because he would score.
And he would deny it.
And he'd make our lives a misery.
No.
And we'd rather be dead.
That is an interesting point.
He scored 47 out of 48 penalties.
Yeah.
So a stunning record.
So my other one, sentimentality, Hristo Stoichkov.
Oh.
Right, okay.
What's his penalty record like?
Very good.
Well, clearly, but have you got any numbers for me?
No, I just wanted him to take it, because it's quite cool. I like the fact that your life depends on Hristo Stoichkov.
I think you want something more stable.
Why?
He's a madman, that's why.
Yeah, but it's fine.
Yeah, but if he looked over and thought, I don't like that guy.
What a way to go, though.
No, but I think
a way to go, him missing a penalty.
No, I think he would say, he looks like a bit of a knob. I'm going to smash it off the keeper. I'm going to miss the penalty, but score the rebound, is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Do you know what? I've got...
So he gets the best of both worlds. He kills Vish, but he gets the goal.
We all win.
He kills Vish, but he gets the goal.
Cristiano Ronaldo's got to be up there.
Ronaldo's up there. He's missed a few, but I mean, come on. He's so reliable.
I think his career... conversion rate is about 95%.
So you're
looking
there.
At 90. So if you put it down to raw numbers to save your life, you're giving yourself a 95% chance of staying alive. It's not bad.
If it's specifically Messi at the Qatar World Cup, then you're safe.
It's not Messi overall, though, is it?
No, but he scored. He tucked loads away. He took a number of penalties.
I would also put Shearer in there.
Yeah, I just... But when he steps up, you've just got that Sunderland miss in the back of your mind.
That's the only one, though. I think
because they miss so rarely, you're remembering those times.
It's because it's like Harry Kane. Harry Kane is very reliable, But, you know, obviously the one against France and the one against Denmark in the Euros.
Yeah.
He scored the rebound.
He did.
But it does seem harsh to say if Harry Kane was taking a penalty, you'd think he was going to miss because he's a very, very reliable taker.
For some reason, you'll know more about this than me, you guys, because I haven't got any stats in front of me. But for some reason, whenever this question comes up, which it does a lot.
David Unsworth.
Wow, I didn't think about that. That's not a bad. Not now, though. Fucking hell.
Well, obviously not now. It is now.
I wouldn't pick Stoichkov now, yeah.
He's the bloke in the tinfoil hat. Oh, blimey. Yeah. Why am I relying on him?
For some reason, I feel like Michael Ballack's really good in shootouts.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think he would take them in shooter. He's German.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, the answer, Laura, is any German man or woman.
What context is it?
Yeah.
Angela Merkel. I'd let Angela Merkel take a penalty for my life.
Big Ange.
Christoph Waltz.
Austrian.
Oh, is he?
Come on.
Shit, I'm dead.
Did that not give that Galacticos era of Real Madrid when they go into it there, did that not give you a real, or certainly gave me a real good insight into what being a top level footballer, like upper echelons top level footballer was like?
Yeah.
Because now it's like, it seems quite individualistic, yeah?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
They were clearly all in it together.
Yeah.
So like, I know, you know, you talked about, he's definitely not a Ronaldo's level, definitely not a Zidane's level, as you said, Figo a bit higher.
Mm.
But they all kind of like identified with each other.
Well, yeah. I think they knew.
Like going out for a beer.
Yeah.
Even, like, the other thing I love, like an offshoot of this, I always had in my head that the rivalry with him and Figo was quite pronounced.
No.
No, not at all.
No.
Like, the way Figo talks about him on there, and obviously Figo says, you know, fuck it, I'm not giving this up for him.
But Figo was almost like a he often comes across as like an elder statesman of the game sometimes.
Yeah. It wasn't an elder fucking one Dan. Look at his chin. His chin's got even more pronounced as he's gotten older.
I forgot how elfish he looked as a player.
A phenomenal player he was.
Speaking of elvish, like the ex-Manchester United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer popping in every now and again like a wise little wood elf.
That was nice.
Hello, you know, everyone.
But that's done
I'm
really
charming.
Well. Uh-huh. The documentary makers have done that really well, because the first thing Gary Neville says is, I never really like nightclubs, which is the perfect first thing to him to say. And the first time you see Roy Keane, he's dunking a biscuit into some tea, and that seems incongruous.
Yeah.
It's really, really well made in quite subtle ways.
There's a lot of like lovely Easter eggs for the football fan. But I mean, this documentary, unfortunately, will lead to another generation of men thinking that they should shave their fucking heads.
Mm.
I did it when Beckham did it.
Did you?
I had it for 10 years. Doesn't work. Don't do it.
He's a bit like David Bowie, isn't he? There's lots of different eras of Beckham.
Yes.
And his looks.
And he's just beautiful. Has anyone ever taken a bad picture of David Beckham? I'd like to find one.
Yeah, his son, maybe?
Yes!
Did you see, speaking of Sean Bean, that some Sheffield United fan photos from the 90s have recently been published? It's one of old Beanie with some Sheffield United
fans. He looks great as well.
Yeah, he's having a drink.
And by the way, if I may
Sean Bean's having a drink with Sheffield United fans.
That's an uncharacteristic.
Any decade, you'll find that.
He's not having a drink with Sheffield United fans. He's having a drink with fellow Sheffield United fans. He's a perfectly authentic Sheffield United fan himself.
Fine.
It's not like, oh, here, I'm going to get a photo with some people like they do these days.
Obviously.
It's authentic.
Yes.
You said we don't talk about him enough. I'm trying to give you some more credit.
I know, and I'm agreeing with you by saying yes.
He looks great.
If we're going to lean on 90s Sheffield United, it has to be Alan Cork and his massive grey beard. I mean, come on.
I don't even know what you're talking about,
Andy. Don't you?
Alan Cork. I'm Googling
Alan
that
Cork
right now.
His massive grey beard.
Oh, go on then.
Yeah, it looks great. He looks 100 years old. Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Oh, now I do remember that. Yeah, of course.
FA Cup semi-final, Sheffield semi-final.
Oh, yeah.
That's up there with your Kiel Kleins.
Yeah, it is.
You're only talking about that because Alan Cork also used to play for Wimbledon, presumably.
Yeah.
obviously. Yeah.
Such a predictable
bastard.
Sausage.
Wanker.
Bastard.
Bastard. Oi, Marcus, let's just do 10 seconds of calling Andy a bastard. Like Sean Bean, really. Andy, bastard. Yeah. Bastard.
Oh, there's a multilingual bastard in this studio.
He just come over here from Portugal. Bastard.
It's Bruno Fernandes. Bastard.
He wants to keep Britain in the EU. Bastard.
It's not just in England, of course, that there are VAR problems. In Brazil, after being denied a penalty and having a man sent off after just 8 minutes away at Grêmio, Corinthians director of football, Alessandro Nunes, tried to storm the VAR room in the stadium.
He went all the way to Uxbridge at Stockley Park.
Oh, no, this is why we have it at Stockley Park. Brazil, what are you doing having VAR at the stadium?
It was like a sort of WWE backstage
segment. It was a bit of a brawl,
So angry.
Jim, you watch it and you think, well, this is obviously not real. And you kind of go, no, this is the director of football literally trying to storm the VAR room.
Did you see the red card decision that he was really angry about?
Was Suarez involved?
I mean, it's incredible stuff. I'll get it up. But this is the red card that he was annoyed about.
Yeah, I mean, it is
absolute leg breaker on it.
It's a red card.
It's you know, like how like the red wavelength is like the longest one.
Yeah,
like it's the longest red I've ever
it's
seen.
It's a beetroot red.
It's the reddest of all of the
it's
red
a purple
cards.
Card.
It's Pantone, just the word red coloured red card.
And it's worth pointing out that Corinthians are one of the biggest teams in Brazil.
It is outrageous.
It's not like it's a league.
No.
And then the manager turns on. Director of football. Turned on the cameraman. Don't you take that down.
That was superb, wasn't it? He's like, you're filming. It's like, we've already got it.
It's like,
not understand how this works. Yeah. It's not live.
Do you reckon he was just like, I hate all cameras? It's not just VAR. I hate all cameras. Never film me.
I'm against lenses. Yeah. I don't even wear contact.
For me, like, the thing I'm fascinated by is, if you do get into the VAR room,
what's the plan then?
Yeah, what's the plan?
Draw me own lines.
I'll draw some lines.
He's got a freeze frame where he's colouring in the red cards with yellow. It's a booking.
I love the fact that they had two security guards on the door who like clearly managed to restrain him, because he went for the door and then he was a bit like, and then he turned around and was he trying to find another way in? It was
got
shocking.
A white vest on like John McClane and Die Hard.
It was piss poor.
Come through the air vent.
Yeah.
Shoot the glass, he's coming.
Unbelievable. Roy Hodgson, though, on the other side of the ledger, he has denied laughing at Pep Guardiola and said he was laughing at an entirely unrelated matter. It was a joke he said earlier. I just remembered.
It's like when you're mucking about with, like, you're getting in trouble with your sibling or something, your mum says to stop it, and you're not allowed to laugh, and they say you're laughing, you go, I'm telling jokes to myself or whatever.
Yeah.
Roy Hodgson saying that like in his 70s.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, come on, though. Do you actually think he was laughing at Guardiola?
I don't know.
I think even from the angle we saw it from, it didn't look.
I don't think he was, but I think that.
But
Hodgson,
we all hope so.
Oh, of course. Hodgson has some funny faces at times, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah. He said, unfortunately, as a high-profile figure, if someone was clever enough to catch me in a photograph, they can put whatever caption they like. If you want to put the record straight, that was it. Why would I want to laugh at Pep Guardiola? I really don't know.
Yeah, I think he was kind of like just looking around at the situation.
And they go, no, this is typical. What a crazy thing, kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't think he was going, you bald fraud. But it would be brilliant if he was.
Maybe he thought that Pep was his egg.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His egg.
It's just nice to see it ready to pop.
His egghead. Maybe.
Because then he Roy Hodgson had lost an egg and he went, there it is.
Yeah, he's now, isn't he? He's now.
Oh, is he? Sorry, everybody. Sorry.
We got there in the end, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
I like the idea of you thinking that Roy Hodgson just really likes eggs.
Just thinking. You never tell if it's Christmas or Easter.
Imagine if Roy Hodgson, imagine if Crystal Palace scored that equaliser against Man City.
What have I done?
The camera pound to Roy, and he's just sitting on Pep, sitting on the shed, like incubating his head.
What reason I would have to incubate Pep Guardiola, I don't know.
Oh, brilliant.
Were you sitting on Pep's head? Let's not take the piss here. a point for Palace.
That's a good Roy impression. I liked it.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Football Ramble 2023 Part 2. We're back with a preview show tomorrow to look ahead to the best of the weekend's action. And look out for the mailbag on Saturday too. In the meantime, we wish you all a very happy and prosperous Christmas perineum, as Jim Campbell calls it. See you soon.
I was so tired this morning, I got on the train and tried to text my dog. Like,
You waited for me to have a cup of tea before you said that.
I picked up my phone to text my dog. Sarah's away.
What were you going to say?
I was just going to say I love you and I'll see you at 12.
See you at 12.
Lost my fucking mind.
Does your dog know what 12 is?
A dog doesn't know what a phone is. Right.
Give a dog a phone.
Give a dog a phone.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.